Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise God. You may be seated. Glory. I was talking this morning about joy in times of trouble. And I know that sometimes individuals feel and almost, you know, they maybe made a start for God and the bottom drops out and the enemy attacks. And then, of course, we're living in an hour in which there is chaos, in which there is all sorts of things that are going on. And I read verses in Hosea and Acts and Romans, and then talked about a joy in obedience, and then not only obedience, but being in right standing. And you say, well, it doesn't matter what I do, God will always love me. Yes, that's true. The Lord will always love us. And yet we feel joy when we are in a right harmony with Him. It is not a question of His love. I mentioned this morning, as a parent, when your children do wrong, when they don't do what you wanted them to do or whatever, it's not a question of that you fall out of love, but you will correct and you will try to get them to line up and be with your will and etc. And so, and then that the enemy uses those times when we have found ourselves. He is the greatest at being the accuser. In fact, in the Old Testament, one writer mentions that he is standing at the right hand, accusing Joshua, standing there with accusations, and that voice and that attitude and that spirit comes. And yet it is that it robs me of joy when I am out of harmony with the Lord, and when I am out of, I can try to fake and pretend and it doesn't really matter, and you know, but down deep I know what the Lord has said to me, I know how the Lord has talked to me, and maybe what He's convicted me of, and what He's asked me to do and sacrifice. And then when I don't do it, you know, it's like there's emotional chaos and boiling, and I find myself emotionally distraught and more easily able to get off track and more easily able to be offended. And that's the hour in which we're living. And we have a society that is, no matter where you go, people are almost on the brink of an eruption, on the brink of, an attack. And they don't understand some of these things. And, you know, that's part of this hour. And yet, here we are, part of the family of God, the fellow disciples, and we talked about how the church becomes a family, and Jesus Himself, when confronted by His own mothers and brothers, said, "Those that obey me, that keep my words, those are my family." And then then we talked about the household of God and the household of faith and that connection. And I know it is easy to become offended and get hurt and hurt feelings. And if you've never been a part or seen a family that can shred relationships, and people can get mad and hurt and over the craziest things. I you name it, I've seen it. I've seen families break up. I never forget one family of a gentleman that lived for God most of his life, almost, well, all of his life, raised in the church, and he had four grandsons, and they were all very well educated. One was a medical doctor, and one was a broker, and one was an engineer, and I've forgotten what the fourth one was. They didn't all attend our church, but all supposedly been in and around church, and they were reading the will, and he had four guns, and he left each of them a gun, and they got to fighting over, I was supposed to get Grandpa's 22, and you were supposed to get the shotgun, and finally one of them put shells in it, and they started the Hatfields and McCoys with four brothers. And they called me, and I said, "Don't call me, call the sheriff. I am not going out there." At that point, they're cuckoo, they're crazy. And you say, "Well, that couldn't happen to me." It will, it can. Just in a moment, that sense of anger and emotion and hurt feelings and all of those things. And so that's why I was talking this morning about the washing of the Holy Ghost and what we felt. And as Brother Shane mentioned, just simply praising the Lord and connecting with Him and letting the Holy Ghost move. Because, you know, there is and there was joy in our conversion. How many remember the night that you repented of your sins? How many remember the night you were baptized in Jesus' name? How many remember the night you received the gift of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues? There was an amazing amount of joy. And then we've gone to meetings, whether it's a midwinter or youth congress or general conference or whatever, and there'll be a mighty move of God and a camp or youth camp, and feel that amazing feeling when you come up from an altar having prayed and the Holy Ghost washing you. And anybody remember what I'm talking about? And yet, folks don't seem to get stuck in that. Now, something bad can happen. Somebody look at them wrong, offend them. Somebody make fun of them. Somebody say something. Somebody, parent, mistreat them. Somebody at school laugh at them. And they can be stuck for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. And I've had people sit in my office and say, "You don't know what happened to me when I was." And I'm thinking, yeah, but you've lived a whole long time. And yet they're stuck in a problem. But I've not yet had anybody come to my office and say, "The night I was converted, I had so much joy and peace and excitement, and I've just been stuck in that for 30 years. Woo! I just can't help myself. I wake up every morning with a song on my heart." I've never had that. Maybe you have. But you know what the problem is? It's not that the experience was bad. It's that the enemy wants to rob us from that experience. And what we have to do is be smarter than he is. And you say, "What do? I renew that experience so that I feel the joy of the Lord." You say, "Well, Pastor, I don't know, you know, if I got, you know, the joy that you're talking about." Well, let me just show you. The Jews stirred up devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas, expelled them out of their coast, but they shook the dust off their feet against them and came to Iconium, and the disciples there were filled with. And with the And so you say, well, what should I do? Then, you know, it's amazing the joy that you can experience. I have seen folks who have been stuck at places in their lives for whatever reason, and old things are passed away, and behold, all things come become new. I've seen older individuals. I've seen folks that have had all kinds of tragedy that come to a moment of conversion, and all of a sudden, the Lord unsticks them and they're filled with joy. If he can do it for them, he can do it for you. If he's ever done it for you once, he can do it for you again. He is no respecter of persons. You know what? The Bible is even full of individuals. In fact, Philippian jailer, city of Philippi, you remember, went from suicide to rejoicing. Oh, I'm struggling. I have all kinds of bad thoughts. Well, let me just tell you what you need to do. Stir up the gift of the Holy Ghost. Stay full of the Holy Ghost. Stay in the altar. Let the Holy Ghost flow through you. Well, I don't think that's necessary. Well, it may not be necessary, but let me tell you, it feels good. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Remember, from suicide to, rejoicing, Paul said with a loud voice, whenever he woke up, the earthquake. And you remember how all this started. Paul and Silas had been beaten, many lashes, thrown in jail, not just jail, but the innermost prison. Put their feet in stocks. Have no reason to be excited. Have no reason to rejoice. Have no reason to sing. Have reason to cry. Have reason to moan. Have reason to say, why me, God? What did I do? I was trying to serve you. I was trying to live for you. I was trying to tell somebody else. I was just trying to be nice. I wasn't trying to hurt anybody's feelings. They could have spent all night bemoaning where they were and what they were going through. But you know what they begin to do about midnight? They begin to sing praises unto the Lord. Oh, and when the joy of the Lord began to flow, it all of a sudden shook the jail cell. And the jailer, who was asleep, woke up, saw the doors open. You remember the story? Looks around, and he grabs a sword, and he's about ready to kill himself with a sword. Now, you talk about suicide in not a pretty manner. I mean, good Lord. That would be, I can't hardly imagine. You'd have to fall on it or something, because it'd be like, I don't have enough strength to do this with just. And yet here he is about to commit suicide, and Paul yells at him, don't harm yourself. Why? And he says, we're all here. We haven't escaped. And so what did he do? He took them that same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he brought them into the house, he set meat before them and rejoiced. You say, here he was within the hour fixing to kill himself, and now within 1 hour he is now rejoicing. That's the kind of transformation our Lord is able to have in a heart and life. He is able to take that amazing kind of, depression and anxiety and fear and all of that. He's able to wash it away. Why? Because of the joy of the Lord. You see, the Holy Ghost flow, somehow it just is connected with joy. It brings joy. Oh, hallelujah. You say, why? Well, in fact, that's what the Romans, Paul said, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy. Where? In the Holy Ghost. In the next chapter in Romans, he said, now the God of hope, that Sister Brenda was singing about, your anchor holds that hope. The God of hope fill you with all what? Joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope. How are you going to do that? through the power of the Holy Ghost. That's why we talk about in the old folks used to say, pray through. Amen. You know, plead the blood till you pray through. Plead the blood. Now, I know that sounds kind of crazy, but what they were doing was saying, you get a hold of the horns of the altar, you don't let go, you say, I'm going to pray through until I feel the joy of the Lord falling on me, until I feel the touch of the Holy Ghost. You say, well, Pastor, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do it. Well, let me just tell you, grab hold of the horns of the altar and say, Lord, I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. I want to leave here feeling the blessings of Almighty God. Even in the midst of temptation, there is, in the midst of temptation, the Lord said, I'll give you joy. Yes. Wherein you greatly rejoice. Wherein you greatly rejoice. Though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness. Now how can you greatly rejoice when you're in heaviness? You just are tapping into the Holy Ghost. You're letting the joy of the Lord flow. You say, what? You keep reading. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise. In other words, as we sang tonight, that somehow in the midst of everything, I'm going to praise the Lord. I know the devil doesn't want me praising the Lord. I know he doesn't want me to worship God. I know he thought this one was going to stop my praise, but I'm going to praise you even more and honor you, Lord, and glorify you at the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, in whom though you now ye see him not, yet you believe. Ye what? Rejoice with joy unspeakable. Pastor, it's chaotic. It's troubling times. There's stress everywhere. People are all kinds of, there's all kinds of craziness. It's all going nuts. I don't know what to do. Then, let me tell you, get stuck in your conversion experience. Get stuck in the same spirit that touched you the night. Remember when you got up from the altar and you know what you could do? You could run through a troop. You could leap over a wall. It didn't matter. You were able. You didn't have a care in the world. You didn't have, you wanted to tell everybody about the Lord. Oh, I don't do that now. You wanted to commit to God. You say, oh, Pastor, I've got my mind divided. I've got 100 other things that I want to do and have and all. The Lord may bring you through a wilderness so that you'll remember, I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. Why? Because there is nothing that is greater than this spirit that I feel. Oh, Pastor, I know it's chaotic. I know it's rough. I know there's one problem after another. But greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. I feel the presence. I want to get stuck. I wish some of us would come and say, you know what? I think I'm stuck in that same joy the night. Oh, but you know what? I failed God and this has happened and that's how. I know. I understand all the things that come our way. I understand all the things that we get hit with. I understand that. But in this time when we are, here we are bombarding heaven in 40 days of fire and saying, Lord, open the windows of heaven. I want the Lord to restore unto us the joy of our salvation. I want him to have, we should have a smile on our face. We should have a song on our lips. Come into his gates with thanksgiving and praise. Why? He is great and greatly to be praised. We're still alive. We still feel what we feel. God is amazing. He's doing amazing things. This is going to be a great year of amazing blessings and pouring out of his spirit. Great healings. I love him. I praise him. I magnify him.